first house I remember my family ever buying, I was heading into the fourth grade in Stratham, New Hampshire, and Dad bought this little split level on a 3/4 of an acre of land. And Dad planted a garden behind the house. So every year after the first year when he broke the ground on where that garden was going to be, every year thereafter he tilled. And it always baffled me that year after year after year, when he tilled, he still found rock. Now granted, New Hampshire is the Granite State, so there's bound to be a lot of rock in the soil. But every time he tilled that soil, he found more rock. So I had to think about tilling the soil and what that means for us as the body of Christ to have the soil of our hearts and our spirits tilled. And probably about now you're going, and what does that have to do with the Deuteronomy passage she just read us? So I'm going to start there, and then we'll go back to what's it got to do with us. Because it's a good passage and a good question. Because think about this. When Moses was given these instructions, when Moses was sharing this vision of what to do with first fruits, they were not in the promised land. They were still in the desert. They were still suffering from all that travel in the desert, wondering if they would ever get there to the promised land. But what does God give Moses up there on that mountain when his face shines? God gives him instructions on how to build a temple. God gives him instructions on how to decorate that temple. God gives them instructions on what the priests are to wear. And God gives them instructions on how to celebrate the gift of the land that they hadn't even received. God gives them a vision and a promise of their future across the Jordan. And then God says, and when you do this, I want you to say these words to the priest. We wonder why we repeat some of the things we repeat every week, because we have to remember. We have to remember our story. Why do we do Lent? We have to remember our story. Just as Moses told the people that when they get to that promised land, when they have broken the ground, tilled the soil, the vegetables and fruit have risen up, and they harvest that very first harvest, those very first fruits, they celebrate and say this: my ancestor was a wandering Armenian. And he was down in Egypt, an alien and foreigner in a strange land. And God raised up such a place so that we could leave that place. This massive, we came small, we left huge. God, and God brought us to this land, this place. God prepared the people for the vision, the promise of the reality of their future. He made plans for their future in the promised land. Knowing, this is the part that always strikes me as what wondrous love is this. Knowing that the people of Israel were going to fail and disappoint him once they got into the promised land. He knew that they would forget. They would forget and fall into temptations not to follow God, fall into temptations not to worship God, but worship other gods, worship the gods of the people in whom they found themselves dwelling. He knew that they would fall into the temptations of coveting what was not theirs. He knew that they would fall into the temptation to lie to one another, to steal, to kill. God knew all of that. and still provided instructions on how to celebrate the gift of land that God would give them, celebrate what it meant to be followers of God, celebrate the story of their return from captivity. And if you paid attention to that very last line in the scripture, that when they were to celebrate, they were to remember the Levites, those who did not work the fields because they were Levites, and to remember the aliens amongst them, so that those who could not gather their own food would partake of the food of the celebration. So what does that have to do with us today in tilling the soil? Well, when we till soil, not that I have tilled it in any time recent, we tend to unearth things, don't we? We unearth stones, but then you hear of all the wondrous things that get unearthed. Well, when we till the soil of our hearts during the time of Lent, we first have to start kind of at our Ash Wednesday devotion, to start in those hard places where we need a pickaxe to break open the hard and crusty places that we really don't want God going to. How many of you have places you really don't want God going to? So we crack those open. And what happens when you open up a new space? The sunlight gets in, the air gets in, and when you till it, you begin to expose the soil to the sunlight. You begin to aerate the soil so that things can begin to grow in there. Our hearts need that same kind of tilling. Our hearts need that same kind of lifting up those dark places in our soils of our souls so that we can see what temptations are unearthed. I want you to think about this morning, as we talked in the time of announcements, about what the trustees are doing. And we've talked about our future. God has a promise for us, just like he had a promise for the people of Israel. God has a future for us, just like he had a future for the people of Israel. The people had to wander through the desert for 40 years to finally get to that place where they could cross the Jordan into the promised land. And even there in the promised land, they failed again and again and again. So that God had to continue to till their soil again and again and again, and bring prophets and priests to remind them, just as if you heard that, how many times is the Lord God mentioned? The Lord God who gave, the Lord God who gave, to remind them that all they are and all they have belongs to God. Well, all that we have and all that we are as the body of Christ belongs to God. This place, the people in it, the land around it, the community that we gather and worship in the midst of, all of it belongs to God. And God has a vision and a promise for our future. And it is not one of closed doors and sorry, no one worships here anymore. It's one of bounty, of wonder and joy. And as disciples of the body of Christ, we are called to be transforming agents, to be witnesses to Christ in this community, and sharing God's love in this community. And I have seen how that has happened here. I've watched us give. I've watched us transform lives. I've watched us be part of that movement. And we can continue to move, whether it's we work with one family in need, many families in need, whether we work with the homeless, whether we work with each other who are sick, who are dying, whether we open our doors for those who are aging and need a place to gather and be part of community and know that they are loved. But God is tilling our soil right now, and he's bringing up all sorts of things, all sorts of obstacles, all sorts of challenges that will hinder us in the movement forward. But the other wonder of tilling is it is the light of God's love that comes into our hearts. It is the light that renourishes that soil. It is the Holy Spirit, just as air, aerating the soil, does wonderful things for crops. The Holy Spirit aerating our spirits does wonderful things for us as the body of Christ. Lent is a time for us to remember the story. Remember God's promises to a people in the desert that they would have a promised land. And to remember the story that he loved us so much that he gave his only son, his only begotten son, to die on the cross for our sins. So that, not just that we would have eternal life with God, but so that the world might be changed. Tilling is hard work. But the one that does the work is God. All we need to do is be willing to let God into our soil of our souls. And in Jeremiah 31, there are these words, 31 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Jordan. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out to the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I will put my law in them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. God's forgiveness, God's grace is greater than all our sin. It's hard to imagine, but there is nothing, nothing that can separate us from God's love. So my prayer for us these 40 days of Lent is that we allow God to till in the soil of our hearts. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.